We'll dismiss our children to children's church, kids 3 to 7 years. Those that want to come and give to the Honey Park ministry, you feel free to do that. Go, darling. Good job. Praise the Lord. Your daddy runs like that too, doesn't he? That's precious, isn't it, brother? Amen. I tell you what, this morning, we stand in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a powerful, powerful session we've had this morning in scripture reading, but also in song. What an incredible time already our Lord has given us to prepare our hearts. Man. For by grace we have been saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any of us should boast. We would, wouldn't we? Well, I got here because I was in church every Sunday my whole life. In fact, I once met a guy years ago who had been saved having been in Sunday school. We had 25 straight years of perfect attendance, and he finally realized he was lost and needed to be saved. What a blessing. One of the few, I might add, one of the few. It is great to see all of you this morning, and what a privilege it is for us to be able to open up the book of God, the words of the living God. In John chapter 5 this morning, I want you to turn there with me. I just continually stand in awe of the Lord. I stand in awe of His Son, Jesus. I stand in awe of the work of God on planet Earth, all that God has done to reveal Himself to mankind. And certainly today is one of those treasure chest moments, I believe, because we continue in a study that really we started a couple of years ago. And in John 5, this whole chapter is about the Lord Jesus revealing Himself to the Jewish community for who He really is. He's probably about a year to a year and a half into His ministry. He comes into Jerusalem during one of the feasts, and He performs a miracle. A man who had been impotent, couldn't walk for some 38 years, and Jesus comes up, and we studied that, why him? But He chose this particular man to heal. He healed him, rolled up his bed. He said, roll up your bed, take off. And this was on the Sabbath. Now, those of us that have been students of the Word of God for any time, you understand that for the Jew to take up your bed on the Sabbath, now they did have their little law where they could tuck it under their arm. As long as it didn't go above the shoulder, it would be allowed or tolerated. Apparently his must have went above his shoulder because he was so excited. He was carried around and immediately the priest, poof, right on top of him, began to say, what are you doing? And this is Bruce's paraphrase, of course, of those first few verses, first 16 verses. And he said, well, the man that healed me told me to take up my bed. So I'm taking up my bed for the first time in my life. I'm walking. And instead of them rejoicing in the miracle and the abundance of it, what they did is they said, well, who was it that told you this? Who was the one that did the miracle? Actually, Jesus was so profound, he didn't even give him his card. I'll tell you what, in today's, you know what would happen today if a faith healer healed him? What would they do? Here's my card, and can you send me some money? Lord Jesus didn't even want him to know his name at that time. He just moved on into the crowd. Ultimately, the Lord came back to this man and spoke to him and said, yeah, you are made well. And then he knew who he was, and certainly he identified himself, and he went right to the priest and said, the man's Jesus. And we entered into this passage last week as these individuals apparently had come to Christ and begun to deal with him concerning his healing on their Sabbath. And we saw last week, and I happen to believe, Bruce's just my thinking as I've studied through this, they must have asked a question similar to this. Just who do you think you are? They wanted to talk about the Sabbath and his demonstration of power on the Sabbath, this work on the Sabbath. They wanted to deal with him violating their Sabbath. Jesus didn't get into that. It was much greater. And we saw last week in these verses from verse 17 and following all the way down to verse 24 that he really gave five things he wanted them to understand, because what he really said, the reason I healed on the Sabbath, because I'm God. And the five things we saw last week were five proofs that he gave to them concerning the deity of Jesus Christ. who he was as the Son of God. And we saw those last week. In his nature, he is God. In his works, he is God. In his power, he is God. In his authority, he is God. And in honor, in worship, he is God. He challenged them with those truths last week. Now today, he actually ratchets it up a notch. Matter of fact, the rest of this chapter, all the way through verse 47, are where Jesus is saying, I am God and here's my proof. So we're going to study that beginning again today, and we'll continue this month as the Lord allows. But what it does for me, it just refreshes to me the wonder of God. The wonder of God and all that he has done that we might encounter him. That we might know him and be saved. That we might be given the gift of, as we'll see today, life. Let's bow our heads together. Father, I know this morning, I know that you've ordered our steps to this moment. We praise you for the songs that have been sung that have prepared our hearts to come to the treasure chest of the Word of God. Lord, no human instrument is anything apart from your divine enablement, your divine work of grace in them. May I simply speak this morning as a mouthpiece of God. May my friends, my brothers and sisters here not see or hear bruised, but literally may we hear the words of the living God here this morning. May it encourage us and challenge us. May it convict us, confront us. And Lord, may it energize us to do the work of the ministry, to be a part of this great and incredible work that you're doing in the midst of mankind, even today. Bless our time in this word, your word, and we will give you glory for all you do. And should there be one or two here or more that do not know you as Savior, that have never personally trusted, placed their trust in the work of Christ alone to save them, God, may today be that glorious day when they hear the voice of the Son of God and receive the incredible, precious gift of eternal life. We thank you for this incredible time we have together. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to start this morning because I want us to read verses 25 through 27. Then we'll come back and we'll work through it together. We're going to start in verse 25 where he says, truly, truly, I say to you, the hour or an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Today I want to tell you, he gives his witnesses simply this. He is God in his power to give life and to judge. Some term it to have resurrection and to judge. It's the same thing. Resurrection is to give life to something or someone who is dead. What we're going to see today is that Jesus Christ proves his deity in his ability, in his power, in his authority to give life. Only God has the ability to give life. We can do a lot to try to sustain life. We can exercise, we can eat right, we can protect ourselves as best we can and make our lives maybe a little longer. We can certainly take medication as needed. They certainly have come a long way with that has sustained life. Certainly blood pressure medicine has enabled many, many in humanity to have extended lifetimes. But you know what? We've not ever been able to give life, have we? We understand very clearly that God is the giver of life. Now this morning, what I want us to see as we work through this passage is that in verse 25, to get the fullness of it, we got to go back a verse. I want to go back where we left off last week in verse 24 as we saw him tie together the truths that he had given last week. Look with me if you would. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. I want you to understand that this verse, verse 24, is a transitional verse. It helps us make the transition from what he has just said in verses 17 and following all the way up to now. It transitions us into the next truths that the Lord Jesus gives. First, he simply says, will they hear what he has said? Verse 24 said, based upon what I have said, he's speaking to the Jews. Now, let's just put ourselves back in that time frame for a moment. Here they are in or around the temple complex. They're there. They're the priests. They're the religious leaders of the community. Here's this man, Jesus, no doubt dressed in Galilean robe, wearing sandals, no doubt dirty, dusty feet. I'm sure his hair wasn't perfectly manicured. I'm sure he probably had a little bit of dirt, a little bit on his hands, on his body, because of the arid and humid environment. If you're in that type of environment, any time you understand that you just walk and you get dirty. Here was Jesus in the temple area, in that region, the court area. And certainly, here's this man who looks perfectly normal and natural. There was no glorious halo. There was no glow about him. There was nothing about his appearance that would say, there stands God himself. So here's this man, Jesus, in the fullness of his humanity, having just exercised some of his powers as God, being confronted by those who thought they spoke oftentimes for God. And what we see is they confronted the Lord Jesus. You can imagine their struggle. Can you imagine that? I mean, I have to be honest. I can't sit here and say, well, I would have recognized him. But what happened was, as they confronted him and the Lord Jesus gives his proofs, he calls them in verse 24, whoever hears my word and believes. Those are two synonyms. To hear the word of Christ, to hear the truth about Christ, is to receive what has been said about Jesus Christ. If you've not received, then you've not heard, and we'll build upon that more in just a little bit. To not hear is to not receive, it is to reject. And thus to reject, we see there in verse 24, means that ultimately you will come into judgment. We saw last week, we're already under judgment. What I want you to see this morning is that as we come to this passage, this is not something that's new. The Lord Jesus has been speaking and teaching these truths all along. Go back with me to John chapter 3 just for a second. Look with me in verse 16. John 3, 16. Got up there last night at the Gospel Crusade, Brother Woody and the guys had, which was cold, but you know what? We had 30 so in attendance. We praise the Lord. And I got up and said, I'm going to speak tonight on a passage of Scripture that I preached 10 weeks on one time in my church. And I said, I'm going to give it all to you tonight, so call and order hot chocolate and pizza. The reality of it was one verse. It was John 3:16. That is the most profound yet most simple verse in all of Scripture. It is full of truth. Listen to what he says in John 3:16. We're going to read all the way through verse 19. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that light, a.k.a. Jesus, has come into the world, and people love darkness, a.k.a. their own selfish ways, their own sin, rather than the light, because their works were evil. We see right here when Jesus, now you remember this, the context of this? He's speaking to Nicodemus, a religious leader who had come to him by night. The Lord's first words to him is, truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he shall not even see the kingdom of heaven. So much of what their system was based solely upon the works of their flesh. Jesus smacks that wall down right off the bat and begins to preach truth, speak truth concerning who he is and the need of mankind to recognize that God has sent his Son. So certainly here in John chapter 3, we see that the Lord beckons the call. He begins to give truth concerning himself and invites people to receive and to believe the truth about Christ. On your journey back to chapter 5, stop off in John 3:36 for a second. John chapter 3 and verse 36, we read about the call of God again for people to believe. Verse 36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life. To obey the Son means to believe what the Father said about the Son. It's to receive the message about the Son of God. To disobey that is to reject that, and they shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on them. What the Lord Jesus was revealing to mankind is that God had made a plan for humanity's salvation, for men and women, boys and girls, to get to know God. And that was going to be through one way and one way only. That was through God's only Son. So as he revealed it, mankind was immediately confronted with a decision. Will you hear and receive, or will you not hear and reject? Not something new. This is what the Lord Jesus, his ministry was all about. Look over in chapter 4. The woman at the well. We've studied that one together. Phenomenal passage. I loved it as we studied it together. And in John chapter 4, we'll begin reading in verse 39. Of course, the Lord Jesus encounters the woman at the well. He was not like any other religious leader she'd ever met. He spoke as one who had authority. He spoke truth, and he spoke it in love. He spoke it with compassion, but he still spoke truth. And this woman responded to that. In fact, what we remember, she ran back into town and said, "Come and see the man who told me all that I'd ever done." She was blown away by what she had heard from the person of Jesus Christ. And I just want you to note a few things here. Many Samaritans, in verse 39, from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all I ever did. So first of all, as she passed on the light that she had received from the Lord Jesus, she passed it on. They believed just based upon her testimony. Look down for a moment in verse 41. And many more believed because of his word. So when they had come out, he continued to speak. He continued to reveal who he was to them. And you know what happened? Many more believed. Hallelujah. But I want you to notice what we saw there in verse 42. In my Bible, I underlined it because it shows me that the light of Christ was getting through. They said to the woman, "It's no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and we know that this is indeed who? The Savior of the world." What did they get? They understood. You know, did they understand about the cross? No, they couldn't. The cross hadn't happened yet. Did they understand the fullness of resurrection? No, not yet. Now, did the Jews believe in the resurrection? Yes, some did. Not all of them. Some did. What they understood that there was a God. And that God was a holy and righteous God. They understood that they too had offended him, that they had sinned against him. And because of that offense, they were under the condemnation. They also understood that God sent his Son to come and rescue them, if you would, save them from their sins. And based upon the light that they had, I believe they were saved because they recognized Jesus as the Messiah even before he hit the cross and the resurrection. I believe that the light had shone into their hearts and they heard the call, and guess what they did? They believed. And certainly when we get back to verse chapter 5, I want you to see this. This very verse, chapter 5, verse 24, transitions us to the next truth, and I want you to see it. It's so powerful. Again, he says it in verse 25 of John 5, "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." This is the promise by God that he will give life. Now notice what he says, "truly, truly." Remember last week, that simply means some versions even say, "amen, amen." That's accurate. Some older versions say, "verily, verily." What it really means is, hey, this is truth. I'm telling you the absolute truth. So anytime you read that, highlight it, mark it, even memorize it, because the Lord's given you a golden nugget. And this nugget here, he says, I'm teaching you this. Now notice he says the word, an hour. An hour is coming. Now sometimes in the scripture you read that term and he's talking about a literal 60-minute period of time. In this case, no, he's not. This is talking about a period or a block of time. And he used the term is coming, which teaches us that it's going to come into the future. But then he goes on, he makes another statement, and I want you to see this. An hour is coming and is now here. And what he's just done is said, hey, look, yeah, there's an hour coming, but guess what? That period of time or that block of time has already started. In fact, I love it. It makes my mind go back to John chapter 1 when John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. You see, Christ incarnate was on planet Earth. He was walking among men. God himself, God, very God, walking in human flesh, walking among us. That period of time had begun. And as we've seen already, God had already begun beckoning people to come to Christ. They had already been coming and receiving. Not in the vast numbers that we've seen in the last 2,000 years, but there were those who had seen and heard and who had believed. One of the things that I love about this is because it's so clear. The hour is coming. The period is coming. But it now is, so it's already begun. Can I say this? It's still happening. We're still in the hour, praise the Lord. That hour has not, that block of time has not ceased. God is still at work among us. And notice what he said. The dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. The dead. Interesting statement. They will hear and live. Now, what we're going to study in the next few weeks in this passage is he talks about two different types of death. We oftentimes, most of the time, think about death, we think of physical death. Physical death is the absence of life in the physical body. If you've ever been there when a loved one has expired or has passed from here into eternity, you know what's happened. One minute, you're there, you're speaking with them perhaps, or they're breathing, or maybe they're conscious or not, but the next moment they expire, they breathe that last breath, life has left the body. And that life that once spoke to you and loved you and was filled with warmth and gave you wisdom and you encountered so much from them is a lifeless shell of what it once was. What happened? Death has entered the picture. Physical death is the separation of the soul, if you would, the spirit from the body. Now, he's talking about that, but not in this particular verse. There's another kind of death that the Lord Jesus clearly knew about that he's revealing to mankind and certainly continues to have us do that today as well, and that is spiritual death. Because what he's talking about in verse 25 is the spiritually dead. Matter of fact, you may remember a passage of Scripture when the Lord Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Y'all remember that passage? It's in Matthew 8:22 if you want to go read it. But what he was saying there was these were living people. Physically, they were alive going back to bury their loved ones. And Jesus said about them leaving the work to go back. He said, let the dead go back and bury the dead. Now, to most of us, if you weren't saved, you'd say, what in the world is he talking about? Is he crazy? What the Jews were saying. In fact, there's a lot of things they were saying about him. What we understand today is that the Lord Jesus knew that there was not just physical death amongst us, but there was spiritual death. Death is the absence of life. Understand this, that as Christ did, we are born spiritually dead. Spiritually, we have no ability of ourselves to engage, to comprehend, to understand, to get a hold of any form of spiritual life or spirituality. We can try many things, but they are all futile attempts. Because if you can imagine a dead person trying to do anything, just think about that. Is that ridiculous or what? Well, we see it all the time. We see dead people spiritually all the time trying to somehow earn their way to heaven, trying to do good enough to get to God, trying to throw enough money in the offering plate to appease Him, or trying to do enough good work so that when they stand before God and give an account, hopefully, they're praying, hopefully, the balances will weigh in their favor. The reality of it is we're dead in our trespasses and sin. In fact, I want you to turn over to Ephesians chapter 2 because I want us to understand this so that you can grasp the fullness of what we've been learning in, and are going to learn throughout John. In Ephesians 2, verses 1 and following, many of you know these verses. They're profound. They're powerful. Man, they're light in darkness. Certainly the Apostle Paul, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, is speaking to the church at Ephesus. The church meaning it wasn't a building, it was people who had been saved and set free from the bondage of sin, the penalty of sin by the power of Jesus Christ. And here's what he says to those fellow believers. He said, and you were, I love the wording, hallelujah, you were dead in trespasses and sins. He's describing that state that Jesus was identifying in Matthew 8, 22 when he said, let the dead go bury the dead. They were born aliens. They were born separated from God himself. We have no life whatsoever. Oh, we're walking physically. And that's why I say today, if a person never encounters God through Jesus Christ, you know what? He's never truly known what it's like to live. He's lived only a fleshly or carnal existence. And that's not living. In fact, in this particular passage, here's how he describes it. He said, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Notice what he said, in which you once walked. So it is their daily living. It is how it is manifested, following the course of the world. In other words, what the world says, hey, I identify with that. I agree with that. Yeah, let's do that. And we see that much today. Following the prince of the power of the air. Oh, we don't even realize that. They're actually following the prince of the air, the power of the air, which is Satan himself. The one who is sowing amongst all of the world, trying to lead many, multitude astray. The spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Think about that. He's describing those who walk in their daily life totally just to consume their own desires, whatever makes them happy, whatever pleases them. They run like the wind and the grass. They're just double-minded. Whatever today makes me happy, whatever tomorrow makes me happy, and we see it all around us. And listen, if you've been saved, you remember that was the old self. That was the old nature. He describes it again. He goes a little further. He said, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Children of wrath. Children still under the condemnation of God. So when Jesus was speaking, he was speaking to these Jews and he's revealing to them, see, they hung their hat on the nail of the Abrahamic covenant. They were sons of Abraham. They obeyed the law of Moses. So everything that they had hung on the nail of their works of their past. And Jesus says, no, 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 no. Those who are dead will hear the call. And they will believe and they will receive. See, he was revealing to them that they were dead in their trespasses and sin. In fact, I'm not going to stop there. I want to go a step further because I want you to see, in contrast, what Christ does when you hear the call of God and you respond. Look in verse 4. But God, I don't know about y'all, but in my Bible, I got that in green. I got that in green. I got the first three verses in pink, or that usually means stop, red light, red light, red light. Then I hit but God. You know what? Thank God those two words are in there. Thank God that God said stop the madness. He looked down upon man and woman in their helpless and hopeless condition and did something about it. He sent his only begotten Son. And read on. Being rich in mercy, God is, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, made us alive together with Christ. Wow. Not based upon any merit, any good, anything that you could ever conceive to do. All because of his great love for us. Understand, think about that. For by grace you have been saved. Understand the fullness of this. Now let's just go back for a moment. Because there's Jesus. You know, have y'all noticed all this zombie stuff, Mark? Y'all seen all this zombies? I'll never forget Ryan Taylor. Where's Mama back there? Ryan was talking several years ago. He got one of them new zombie killing games. Okay, they in that video stuff, and Ryan was telling me, y'all got me a new game. We was up killing zombies till like 1 a.m. And I said, now think about what you just said. Killing zombies. What's a zombie? That's right. First of all, if you think about that concept, I used to laugh at it, but the reality of it is, spiritually speaking, it's true. Bill, were y'all at that zombie fest yesterday morning, 7 a.m. in the cold? I drove there going to the hospital. I went, these people are crazy. I bet Bill's there with the boys. You know what? Had I had teenagers, I probably would have been there too, brother. They had a zombie fest yesterday. I guess they shot them all up, I guess. Think about the truth of that. A zombie is dead man walking. And if you're dead in your trespasses and sin, we literally are dead men or dead women walking. Spiritually, there's zombies all around us. So here's what Jesus was doing as he proclaimed this message. Jesus was walking among dead corpses. And he's preaching and speaking truth about himself and about God's great love and mercy for mankind. He's revealing that man is a sinner in need of a Savior and that he had come to seek and to save the lost. And so here's Jesus walking amongst the zombies, the dead, and he's speaking truth. And you know what happens? Those who were quickened by the Spirit of God, those who heard, stood up. Stood up. Kind of reminds me of that passage in Isaiah where he talks about dead bones live. I'm a Harley guy. I love Harleys. Don't have one now. Probably won't have one the rest of my life. But that's okay. I always wanted to do this to my Harley. Harley is oftentimes accoladed in black and wrapped in black and wrapped in skulls and all that stuff. I wanted to have my fairing on the front of my. I wanted to paint that thing slap white. I wanted a saddle brown seat. And on the front fairing, you know what I wanted to put? Dead bones live. And I wanted to have somebody do me a panorama. Probably could have got Dan to do that for me. Just do me a panorama of dead bones all piled up and then have the Lord Jesus, the gospel call going out and seeing these dead bones rise up. Because you know what? That's exactly what happened when I was 15 years old. And that man came to my house and said, young man, I want to tell you something. You're a sinner. I went, I know that. That's big news. But you know what, son? If you die like you are today, you will go into eternity separated from God like you are right now. I didn't know that. He said, but let me tell you what God has done for you. And he told me, he gave me the good news of Jesus Christ. And that day, I heard the call of Jesus Christ, and I rose up. It's been a long time ago, 41 years ago. And you know what? He's still doing that. And the Lord Jesus was certainly giving these incredible truths. And I loved it because he said, I love the promise. Notice what he says. An hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. Can you amen that? Have you heard and are you living today because of the work of Jesus Christ in you? It ought to be the most exciting time of your day. Waking up. Thank you, God, that I didn't wake up in hell today. Thank you that I woke up and I'm conscious of you. I'm conscious of grace. I'm conscious of your Son. I'm conscious of truth. I understand all because I heard and I responded. Wow. I can only imagine hearing this fall from the lips of the Savior. Read on quickly, very quickly. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. The Jews believed that the Father had life. But here's this dusty Galilean, hair all miskempt, standing there before them, having healed on their Sabbath. They look past the miracle, telling them, as the Father has life, he's given the Son to have life. Now remember, they're already upset. Because they knew he was claiming to be God. They're already smoking. They're ready by the time we get to the end of this chapter, they're ready to stone him. He actually moves his main headquarters out of Jerusalem now, and he begins to minister out elsewhere until he comes back in at strategic times. Because they literally, by the time he finishes this discourse, they're going to be out to kill him. That's what happens when you're dead and you don't see and understand. Those days are coming here if he tarries much longer. To walk in the light will cost us. and to preach the truth. You ever seen such hatred to those toward those that are Christian today? Those that just want to walk in humbleness and humility and speak truth and love? And there's a hatred. Well, that's nothing new. It's been going on for thousands of years. In this particular passage, when Jesus said it, they understood that he was claiming, again, to be fully God and that he had the power of life. Go back again very quickly to John chapter 1. I want to show you a few things as we blow through this portion. I want you to see it. It begins in John chapter 1. I want you to understand this. John chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." Of course, he's talking about Jesus Christ. Now, understand this. We've got to realize that Jesus is both fully God and fully man. Can we fully engage all of that in our psyche? No, we cannot. It's impossible. But what we see through the eyes of Scripture, and we see through truth, we see through practice in his life, it's true. In John 1:1, actually verses 1 through 5, we're talking about this particular passage is about the person and work of Jesus Christ in eternity past. Okay? That in the beginning was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We understand that. Jesus Christ existed in eternity past with the Father, and certainly here in verse 4, in him was life. Because he's fully God. God has life. He is life himself. He gives life. But then what happens is Jesus, we understand, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, John says, full of grace and truth. He saw that glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. But on most other days, he just walked with him and saw a man who was incredibly gifted by God. And they heard his teaching, they saw his miracles, and they were drawn to him. Ultimately, they placed their faith in him to save them. They recognized him, they heard his teaching about deity, but they saw him in his fullness of humanity. In his humanity, the Lord Jesus voluntarily withheld or held back some of his deity. If it didn't make him any less God, it just means he didn't choose to reveal it. One of those things would be his glory. They saw that on the Mount of Transfiguration. But you know what? When he walked in the midst of the crowd there at Pentecost, they couldn't even tell who he was. He just looked like one of us or one of them. As he walked among them, they didn't see any great glow around him unless he chose to allow it to shine through. He veiled it. He withheld it until that time. Now, when it comes to the giving of life, he didn't veil that. The God the Father, and he certainly, as we saw back there in chapter 5, it says, as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. So in his humanity, he and the Father were one. He was allowed to have the oneness, if you would, of the Father in sharing the gift of life. And certainly we've seen it, and we'll see that in many places. In John chapter 3, I'm going to go through them very quickly for you. John chapter 3, all the way through this passage. And verse 15, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Jesus said those who believe in Christ, who believe in the one who's going to be lifted up, they will receive the gift of eternal life. Verse 16, again, whoever believes in him, certainly he talks about that God so loved the world, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have, present possessive, eternal life. They would receive life from Christ then. In fact, if you turn over to verse 36 is another one again. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. It's present possessive. Eternal life is not something you get when you die. Eternal life you get the moment you believe. That's the promise of God. If it's real life, he says, dead bones live. Rise up. And we rise up to a newness of life. And so certainly we go over to chapter 4, verse 14. There's another passage here. Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst again. I love what he says. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. It's a gift from God. Chapter 5, verses 30. We're not there yet, but in chapter 5, verses 39 and 40. Listen to what he says. 39 and 40. You search the Scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. Jesus had the power to give eternal life.
And certainly that continues throughout the gospel. John chapter 6, verse 27. I love these verses because through this whole passage is what he's teaching. Don't labor for the food, in verse 27, that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man, which we'll talk about, Lord willing, next week, will give to you. I love that. It's the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus, who will give them eternal life. Verse 33, very quickly. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Verse 35, if you would. But I say unto you that you have seen me. No, let me back up a minute. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Promise that God will give them that which is eternal, which will continue. Down over in the same chapter, chapter 6, verse 68. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words, what? Of eternal life. He continues in chapter 10. I've quoted this verse many times throughout my life in ministry. Jesus says, I have come that they might have life. He says, the thief that comes only to steal, to kill, to destroy, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. That they might have life. Christ has come that humanity, that people will have life, true life. Verse 28, I gave them eternal life and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. I like those promises. The gift of eternal life is eternal. If God gives it to you and you really got it, they got the real thing, you can't lose it. It is a precious gift from the Lord. Chapter 11, I can't wait till we get here. Chapter 11 and verse 25, one of my favorite verses in dealing with death. And Jesus said in verse 25, said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. What is resurrection? It's bringing someone up from the dead. Now, he is certainly talking about being the spiritual resurrection, which is what we're speaking of this morning. But we also understand that there's a physical resurrection that must take place, and Lazarus was fixing to experience that. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Wow. So this eternal life transcends physical life. That's why I believe to exhale here, consciously, I just move from one realm to the next. I inhale on the other side in the presence of the Lord. So death, big whoop, give it your best shot. It was conquered on the cross through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus here walking this planet, preaching these truths, incredible. And then certainly one that you've heard over and over and over again, John 20, the purpose of the book of the Gospel of John. Verse 31, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing you may have life in His name. Can I say this? It's an incredible thing to have experienced the call of God to salvation. Y'all remember what it was like before you came to know the Lord? You remember that? You should never forget it. Because oftentimes what happens is if we just get settled in where we're at and we forget where we've come from, we get very content and very satisfied. We lose the luster of this beautiful gift of eternal life. I was reminded of that last night, and I appreciate Brother Woody inviting me to come. And I watched those people out there singing in the cold. Man, it was cold. And that quartet was out there bundled up and doing their best to belt it out. And I'm sitting there thinking, why in the world would these people do this? I ain't getting it because of the crowd. It isn't because Woody threw hundreds at them. I'm sure he didn't do that. He's laughing at that one. You know why they did that? They had experienced the wonder of eternal life through Jesus Christ. They had identified in spiritual death with the call of God. They heard it and they responded by simple faith. And they were able to engage life in a way that just incredible. Now, one thing we know that Scriptures teach us, because Jesus said it in John 5:24, that if you hear and you believe, you receive, guess what? They have the gift. Well, the vice or the opposite is also true. If they don't hear, if they reject, guess what? They remain under condemnation. I don't know if you've ever had this experience. Is it cold in here to y'all? Dude, I'm like freezing. When it's cold, I'm cold, y'all cold. I think they had it on Meat Locker yesterday for the group. We're wrapping up, I promise. Have you ever had an opportunity to share Christ with someone and they didn't hear? You took the gospel, you weren't trying to force it, you weren't trying to cram it down their throats. You were just sharing with them what God had done. Maybe you opened the scriptures, maybe you didn't, maybe you quoted a few, maybe you drew something on a pad. I'm a visual guy, I love to draw. You ever had a time when you've done that and they didn't hear and it broke your heart? I'll never forget one dear lady some time ago that I had the privilege of meeting with her and one of her friends who was a Christian, who was a part of our church, and she wanted her to hear about Jesus. So we met at lunchtime and got through all the preliminaries, and we just got down to the brass tacks of talking about Christ. This person was religious, had a religious background. And I'll never forget, I took a pad with me and took my Bible, and I wasn't preachy. I just started drawing out what I use oftentimes as the navigator's bridge to life. And I just use scripture, some that they've used, some that I have used for years. And I went through this, and each point I said, "Do you understand?" And she did. I mean, I thought she was getting it all the way through. She was broken, actually began to weep toward the end of it. I was weeping by the time we got to the end of it. And I drew the bridge of coming across by faith. And when I got to that one, I lost her. She just didn't see it. She saw that her work, she just didn't see it. And I'll never forget, we stayed like 2 hours with her. And I shared every truth that the Lord brought to my mind. The person that I was with shared everything that the Lord brought to their mind. We went through so many things, and when we got to the end of it, she just didn't hear. And I left that day brokenhearted because I saw that day the fullness. Because you got to understand something, guys. Salvation is a work of God. I could have said, just pray this prayer. And listen, you hear this all the time. Just pray this prayer and you'll be saved. That's not of God. Now, you may pray a prayer to be saved. You may not even pray a prayer and be saved. Ooh, that's a biggie. Because notice what he said back in John. He didn't say, if you believe and pray a prayer. Now, why do we have them pray a prayer? Sometimes we do that just to have them marked, make sure that they make the very specific details, that they know that they're sinners and they know that Christ died for them. But I'll never forget that she left that day and I never saw her again. Never had a chance to see her again. I understood the fullness that I had to have the work of God in amongst us. We're only responsible to give out the light, speak truth about person and the work of Christ. I've had the opposite of that happen. I've shown up on the scene. I don't know how many people had witnessed to people at various times, but I'll never forget one young man came to my study one day. He had been addicted to drugs, had some issues with alcohol and drugs, as folks often do when they try to medicate their lostness. I'll never forget this young man came into my study, and I just began to share truth. And I'm telling you, it was like he was crawling into the scriptures. It was like, okay, dude, come on, back up a little bit. I got to have room to share. You know, I got to have room to turn the page. He was just consuming the Word of God. And I'll never forget when we bowed and prayed together. I like to have them pray, then I'll pray. As we prayed together, God just did a work. It was great. I'll never forget what that young man did. He went out the door, and I watched him as he walked up the sidewalk. I can't do it. I'll break something. He jumped up and clicked his heels together. He went on to his car with a skip, and it was amazing. And I can't remember. I don't remember another time that I shared the gospel with him. I'm sure what happened was God had been working and drawing and calling him. He had been hearing the voice of God and certainly in many different ways. And then certainly, guess what? There was a time when the Lord says, it's time. What will you do with my son? So now, back for just a second, and I want to end with this morning. This is what it's all about. Jesus is about transforming dead carcasses to living and breathing beings. Jesus is about the work of transformation. bringing life from death. In the first Adam, we all died. In the second Adam, Jesus Christ, we can be made alive. And so today, what I just want to close with is this. Have you heard His call? Have you? Can you remember that day when you finally got it? You didn't have to know theologically the Trinitarian doctrine. Can you remember the day when you got it? When you understood that God was holy and He was offended by our sin. That you sinner and I was a sinner. And we stood under the condemnation because the wages of sin is death. Do you remember when you heard the call that says, just come. Believe. Trust. Do you remember the day when the burden was lifted? I've never gotten over it. And all I'll say today as we study through John chapter 5, Jesus Christ is fully God because of life. He gives it. He has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Do you have that abundant life in Jesus Christ? Ruthie, I'm just going to invite you to come and play for us. If you guys would just stand where you are, I'm going to invite you to come. Maybe you just want to come and talk to the Lord, because one of the other beautiful things God does, He doesn't quit talking to us, does He? He said in Matthew 11, He said, come unto me all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about us. Have you heard the call of God for salvation? If you're here this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm not going to pressure. I just want to invite you, if you'd like to come this morning, I'll be glad to take the time. Anybody here, take the time to help you answer the call. Is Jesus speaking to your heart? Do you hear Him saying right now, come unto me? Christians, would you pray with me for those among us? I don't know who's lost or who's saved. God does. All I know is this, He loves you. He loves me. As best as I know how, and as humbly as I know how, with every head bowed, please, I invite you to come. What hinders you from coming to Jesus? Is it your past? I speak from personal experience here. You come to Jesus Christ today by faith, and He'll remove the sins of your past so far that they'll never remember them again. He'll take the guilt, the penalty, and the power of sin away from your life. He will fill you with a fullness of life like you've never engaged. We just invite you to come. Yes. Father, I thank you for the preciousness of our time here this morning. We stand in awe of you. To think that you so loved us in all of our weakness, our failures, all of our sin, all of that which offends us and makes us ashamed, saddens us, and you still loved us. You know past. You know our present. You knew our future. And Jesus still came. He did much more than walk on this earth and reveal himself. He went to the cross and revealed himself. We see very clearly on this side of the cross when he rose from the tomb victoriously. The Holy Spirit came shortly thereafter and began the incredible work of the building of the bride of Christ called the church. I thank you for this precious treasure chest of the Word of God. Lord, continue to speak and draw all of us to you, the lost to you for salvation, the rest of us to you just for loving devotion. We thank you for this privilege that we have to gather here today. Bless my brothers and sisters as we head out into our mission field. May the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ shine through us, that this world that abides in darkness under the condemnation of death might see and meet the one who will give them the most incredible gift ever given, and that is life in himself. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.